Please turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 14. We'll read that in just a moment. And I believe we do have that map. Do we have that available? Maybe you didn't even know about it. I think it says the first. Oh, there we go. Got it. All right. And why don't we go ahead and just put it on the next slide. And this helps a little bit, I trust, to help you gather, okay, when you mention a place, to see where the movement is going. And if you notice Antioch there on the screen, kind of the center, that now has become the center of missionary outreach. And last week we talked about that, that it's 300 miles from Jerusalem. Jerusalem way down here, all the way up there. That's like going from Chicago to Dayton, Ohio. For some reason we have that in our mind. But that now Antioch has become the outreach center, the missionary center then for the gospel. And so let's kind of have that. We'll just have it right on display throughout the message so we see the movement. But let's bow in prayer. I know we've prayed a lot. You say, man, again? No, I think we cannot accomplish anything in the remaining hours that we have together. Only a few minutes, okay, if we have Him in charge. Let's pray. Father, as we look to You, O God, please help us to catch a fire. As we look at what took place in the early church, as we see the reports here from Dr. Luke, this is recorded history, but it's inspired history. You have included these words in the text before us in our Bibles so that we would know how the church began and how the church reached out to Gentiles, to those that were different. And I thank You, Lord, that the gospel reached out to Gentiles because I am a Gentile. Thank You that we have hope in Christ. Thank You that we are recipients of the good news. But may it not stop with us. May we be quick to share it with others. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Before I read chapter 14, I want to kind of review a little bit of chapter 13. As the gospel is spreading out, you'll notice on the map as the places are mentioned again, we are just reminded again as the gospel spread, I want you to notice throughout the report today, it's more of a report, a reminder of our history of the church and the early church and the spread of the gospel. I want you to notice the ups and downs as the gospel is spreading out. I want you to notice the highs and lows, the victories and the challenges as the gospel is spreading. Last week, we talked about from verses 1 through 3 of chapter 13. So you can kind of look back at chapter 13, but also look at the screen to see where we're going. Antioch, the first church, the first missionary church, sending out their best. We talked about how the church had gathered together in Antioch. It was wonderful. It was growing. It was expanding. They had great leadership. They had great worship. They had great teaching. They would have been, understandably, just content to stay right there, enjoying these men that they had listed in chapter 3, verse 1. And yet they were not content to just keep it to themselves. They sent out two of their best leaders, Saul and Barnabas, to spread the good news. And so chapters 13 and 14 together combine about a 3-year period of time when this is known as the first missionary journey of Paul. And so chapters 13 and 14 record the events. They started in Antioch and then went to Seleucia, which is the port city there on the Mediterranean. And there they took a boat when they found it. We don't know how quickly they got the boat. Now, those details are not listed. But these missionaries got on a boat and sailed some 2 or 3 hours over to a port city of Salamis on the eastern side of this island called Cyprus. And there John Mark joined them. John Mark was the cousin of Barnabas to assist them in the ministry. They crossed the island. Remember, last week we talked about proclaiming the gospel in the synagogues first, and then they worked their way across to the west on the island of Cyprus. they crossed over to an area called Paphos. And there they encountered some challenges. They came across a magician who was with the governor of the region. And when they started sharing the gospel, this magician, this Bar Jesus or Elymas, started to oppose them. And his intent was to distract and draw the attention away from the preaching of the word. And yet, they still preached the gospel. And as a result, this governor, a man who had influence in the area, named Sergius Paulus, verses 6 through 12, it records that account, he came to know Christ as Savior. Well, that was a victory. One coming to Christ, the governor of the area, and who knows the impact of his influence because of knowing Christ. They traveled from Paphos to Perga. Another downer happened. John Mark, it tells us in our text before us, John Mark left them and returned to Jerusalem. And we mentioned last week about how that probably was things were getting too tough for this spoiled rich boy. So he went back to Mama in Jerusalem. It doesn't tell us in the text, but it must have been a discouraging time. As they're going along, things are happening, a governor is saved, and yet now a disciple has fallen by the wayside from discouragement or whatever reason, we're not too sure. But then they went on to Antioch of Pisidia. Notice there's two Antiochs, one of Syria and now one of Pisidia. And verses 14 through 41 of chapter 13 record this message that took place in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Paul preaches a long sermon. Now, can you imagine if Paul was here preaching the sermon? He would be here all day. But this was a wonderful sermon. Sometime you'll have to read it. We did not account it in our read it in our scripture reading last week, but it's a wonderful message proclaiming the death and resurrection of Christ. One that called the Jews to believe, and it tells us in the text that many believed in the gospel. And they requested to hear it again on the next Sabbath. But as the pattern goes, the Jews opposed him, rebuking Paul. And it says at the end of the chapter, they drove him out of the region. Notice beginning with verse 50. But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirring up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and they drove them out of their district. But Paul and Barnabas shook off the dust from their feet against them and went on to Iconium. So ups and downs in the first chapter that's here in our Bible, but now follow along as I read chapter 14. I want to read the chapter and then we'll come back and just review briefly highs and lows. Now at Iconium, they entered together into the Jewish synagogue and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the pot. They stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So they remained for a long time. I find that interesting. They stirred up the pot, poisoned the minds of the people. And verse 3, you would think they'd say, so they ran to the next city. It says, no. So they remained for a long time, speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. When an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat them and to stone them, they learned of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding country. And there they continued to preach the gospel. Now at Lystra there was a man sitting who could not use his feet. He was crippled from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul speaking. And Paul, looking intently at him and seeing that he had faith to be made well, said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he sprang up and began walking. And when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in Lycaonian, The gods have come down in the likeness of men. Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance of the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. Apparently, up to this point, the disciples couldn't understand really what was going on. And finally, when they realized that they were being praised and were going to be used as kind of they're going to do sacrifices to them, verse 14. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of it and understood what was going on, they tore their garments and rushed out into the crowd, crying out, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you. And we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In past generations, he allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways, and yet he did not leave himself without witness through nature." And then he goes on, "For he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness." Even with these words, they scarcely restrained the people from offering sacrifice to them. But Jews came from Antioch, the previous city, and Iconium, another city that they had just left. And having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and entered the city, the very city that where he was stoned, and on the next day he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. When they had preached the gospel in that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Then they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia, and when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and from there they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door wide open of faith to the Gentiles. And they remained no little time with the disciples. In other words, they remained a long time there with the disciples. So just to recount very quickly, chapter 14. They were at Iconium, entered the synagogue, taught about Jesus. Many believed, but Jews were there quick to oppose. They stayed for a long time, but the city was divided, and then there was a threat on their life, and they had to leave that city for Lystra. Paul heals a crippled man, as the account is. I can't imagine what that had been like. It would be like bringing Jason to the worship service, and then Paul would reach out and just, "Jason, start walking around." That would be amazing. That's what I picture going on here. Amazing situation. And so as this man is walking around and bringing glory to God, and the people respond and call them gods. They were kind of adding their God to their God shelf, to their pagan worship. But when Paul started talking about the true and living God as a replacement for their God, that stirred them up. They were still wanting to offer sacrifices, but it was enough to stir the rest of the crowd up and poison their minds. And these evil men from previous cities came, and they quickly changed from praise to throwing stones. Doesn't that remind you of something else? Doesn't that remind you of Palm Sunday? where they're worshiping, oh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and, you know, save us now, deliver us. And only a short time later, they're saying, crucify him. Now these disciples, in this case, Paul, is feeling the effects of that, the very same attitude that Christ endured. But Paul miraculously recovered. It's interesting that Dr. Luke doesn't give us a detail. Did he actually die and then God raise him up? Was he just knocked unconscious and they thought he was dead? We don't know the details, but for whatever reason, he chooses not to go into detail. And he raises up and he goes back to the very city where he was stoned and then on to Derbe, strengthening the disciples, making disciples. And then that was not the end. They didn't just make a beeline across to Antioch. They go back to the various cities that had just stoned him and threatened him. And there he goes along, strengthening the believers, appointing elders in these churches, making sure that ongoing teaching and training and maturing is taking place with these new believers. And they come back and report to the mother church, as it were, in this case, that had sent them out. I would like to leave you with a couple key thoughts. Number one, note the courage of Paul and Barnabas. You cannot help read these two chapters without saying, wow, these were bold, courageous men who loved the Savior. They didn't just face a little bit of persecution. They were opposed in big ways and to the point where they were willing to give their lives. But why would people do that? Why would disciples of Christ in the early church, and why do people do that today? Go to far-reaching countries, to tribes that are threatening and opposing. Why did Jim Elliot go to that tribe, the Aka Indians, and give his life? We lost some of the best missionary men that day when they landed on the beach there among the Aka Indians and their lives were taken and their wives and families had to deal with the loss. Why would men and women do that? For the sake of Christ. Because of what Christ had done to get the message out so that others will know about how they can find deliverance from sin. They had a message to tell. Good news of salvation. Are you willing to do whatever God asks you to do? I don't know what He may ask you to do. I don't know what He may impress upon your heart and mind to do. But are you willing to pay any price so that the gospel can go forward? Are you willing to tell others? Notice the courage. Second, note the results. In one city, a few believed. In other cities, many believed. Great numbers believed. In another place, a well-known governor believed. In another place, many were made disciples. Never underestimate what God may do through men and women as they're willing to plant the seed and leave the results to Him. I must admit that if I were in their shoes going in some of those cities and I had just been threatened with stoning, or if my partner had just been stoned, I would have been tempted to go back to Jerusalem like John Mark too. I would have said, I want to go home and I want to sit and watch a tree grow. I don't want to do anything more. This is not worth it. This is too hard. But I'm thankful for the example of these men. And as a result of their faithfulness and their courage, God blessed and God honored the seed that was planted, and salvation came as a result. Third, notice the emphasis on making disciples. As you look at the text before you, I love it where it talks about strengthening. It talks about encouraging. Notice beginning with verse 21 of chapter 14. And when they, Barnabas and Saul, had preached the gospel in that city and had made many disciples, they returned and went to these previous places, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, in spite of the tribulations, we must go through this. Yes, evangelism is important. Yes, making a profession of faith in Christ is important. Yes, understanding the gospel is important, but teaching and strengthening and encouraging is a part of this making disciples. And folks, that is the mission we have before us. It is not ended at the end of Acts. It continues on, as I mentioned last week. We have a responsibility of continuing with this mission of making disciples. And so it's not enough to see someone come to know or make a profession. They must grow, they must be strengthened, they must be taught the doctrines of the Word of God, the teaching of God's Word. May God encourage us today with the history that Dr. Luke has set forth for us. May it not just be the pages that we quickly turn past, read through, and move on without being moved by what's going on. I hope that you're impressed. It's recorded here for a reason. May it inspire us to do our part in reaching our world with the good news. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that has been set aside to remember Christ's sacrifice. We have touched, we have handled the bread and the cup, these objects that remind us of a significant event in history, the most significant event, Christ coming and living a perfect life and dying on behalf of us, dying in our place, and then rising again. Oh God, may it stir us today as we sing these songs, as we read this text, as we review history. May it inspire us to live faithfully for you, to do whatever you have asked us to do. And when we face an occasional opposition, an occasional comment that we're foolish, that we're dumb, we're stupid, Lord, may we understand that this is nothing compared to what others have done. May we be willing to stand up for Christ and be willing to say, I am a follower, I am a disciple, I am a Christian. God, give us courage. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.